KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have 23 degrees in Atlantic, looking for it to be partly cloudy to cloudy and windy this morning, a high of 47. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. Topping state news, the Iowa Department of Public Safety says a police officer has been wounded during a traffic stop in eastern Iowa. The department says Makokita officer was shot after making a traffic stop at around 2:50 this morning. The shooter fled the scene. No arrest has been reported. The department said the officer, who was not identified, was taken to the Jackson County Regional Health Center in Makokita for treatment of a wound described as non-life-threatening. I'll have a check of area news coming up next.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
Well, the cause of a fire that burned furiously last night on the north side of Atlantic remained undetermined as of early this morning. Atlantic Fire Chief Mark McNeese said the crews responded to the City of Atlantic's yard waste site on the west side of the Schulberg Recreation Area at around 8:50 p.m.
There was a tremendous amount of flame and embers coming from the compost pile out there. The embers were blowing, of course, in the wind and heading over towards the Schulberg Recreation Area to the east and along the Buck Creek Road. So it was going pretty good. It's a really large pile of sticks and wood and some very large tree trunks and limbs that were in there.
McNeese said the pile will be smoldering for quite some time, even though they poured 13 to 14,000 gallons of water on the blaze. The fear now is that strong winds this morning will whip up more embers and cause another separate blaze. McNeese said it's possible the fire could have been accidental or related to spontaneous combustion, but it's simply too early to tell. He said city crews were compacting piles of debris over the past couple of days, but it's not clear if that had anything to do with it.
I can't believe that the street department did it or the city started, but it's hard to tell. I think they may have just pushed it all back up in there recently because somebody that had been out there said the other day that it was spread out more than it was, so I think they may have moved it. Timing-wise, I don't know if heavy equipment or something may have. I kind of doubt it. I mean, there's some smaller stuff in there and some green stuff, but I find that a little hard to believe. I'm not sure there was enough new vegetation and that it would have done that, but it is possible, I guess.
Firefighters were on the scene for a couple of hours. He said if the winds had kept up, the fire could have spread east toward Olive Street. Members of the CAM School District Board of Education Monday evening discussed the sharing of a superintendent with the Coon Rapids Bayard Community School District. Last week, you may recall, it was announced that CRB Superintendent Rich Stauffers would be resigning in an effort to save the district money through an early retirement package. During Monday night's CAM school board meeting, Superintendent Steve Pelzer said he'd received a call on March the 24th asking if he would be interested in sharing his position at CAM with the CRB district.
You know, I really didn't answer that because I thought, you know, as long as they were reaching out, that's a board decision whether or not you want to do that. So that's how this whole thing got started. So we just, you know, it's kind of a short time frame, so that's why we thought it would be a good idea to have a special meeting tonight to discuss that.
School districts sharing a superintendent is nothing new. Several area districts share a superintendent in an effort to save costs during times of declining enrollment and mounting expenses. Pelzer said Governor Branstad Monday signed into law a bill pertaining to operational sharing, which provides incentive monies to districts for just such purposes. CAM Board President Gary Dinkles said he and Pelzer spoke with CRB School Board President Joel Davis about the possibility of sharing.
When we talked with Joel, the board president from Coon Rapids, they actually had a couple other districts that they'd been in contact with, and their thoughts were kind of a 60-40 split. But I think that was mainly because they felt like they would have trouble talking to a district and saying, we'd like half of your superintendent. I think they thought it'd be a little more palatable to be 60-40.
And when you say that, I mean, obviously you mean 40 their way, 60?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dinklage said that Davis is going to talk more with other districts and come up with a timeline. Pelzer said the CRB board is having a meeting tomorrow night to discuss progress on those talks and the process for sharing. As for Pelzer, he told the CAM board that he has no interest in sharing his job with another district, which is something he's done before, but it's something that CAM could consider in the future.
I mean, I've done that one time, and, you know, I guess myself, I'm not interested in doing that. But, you know, my feelings are, if the board feels, and I've got some figures here as far as financially what this would mean to the district, if the board feels that that's a route they want to go, and it's you know, if there's good savings and so forth and incentive money, then, you know, I want to do what's best for the district.
He said he would consider stepping down and having the board pursue other options, but he wants to sit down with him and discuss a severance package if that's the case, because he hadn't planned on early retirement. Gary Dinklage said there are no plans to pursue options such as sharing a superintendent right now, but talks will continue with CRB to see if there is a mutual beneficial interest in doing so.
And I did reassure Steve that I didn't think there would be anybody on the board that would be interested in setting Steve on the doorstep after he brings us this great idea, but maybe I was wrong. Thanks a lot.
Elsewhere in the news, the Council Bluffs School District has apologized to teachers for a delay in their monthly paychecks. The Council Bluffs Community School District sent out an email Monday to teachers and substitute teachers, alerting them that a payroll file for automatic deposits was not electronically submitted to the bank last week. District spokeswoman Diana Ostrowski said the mistake was due to an error. The Daily Nonpareil reports the district will reimburse employees who received overdraft charges because of the delay. Employees who are customers with American National Bank received a credit for the funds to their accounts. The error did not affect employees who received bimonthly paychecks, which includes paraprofessionals, custodians, and technicians. A bill increasing funding for educational programming and infrastructure in Iowa has won the support of a divided legislative panel. Democrats on the Senate Appropriations Committee voted 13-7 Monday in favor of the appropriation, with all Republicans voting against it. The measure is now eligible for a debate on the Senate floor. The bill would allot $986 million to go toward Iowa's educational efforts in fiscal year 2015. It includes funds appropriated specifically to the Iowa Department of Education and the Board of Regents, among other programs and organizations. Senate President Brian Shunjan, an Arlington Democrat, says the appropriation is an $87 million increase from last year's budget. Republican Senator Jake Chapman of Adel opposed the bill, saying that he couldn't support growing government at a faster rate than household income growth. A Sioux City High School student has been appointed to the Iowa Board of Education. Governor Terry Branstad said in a news release Monday he's appointed Hannah Renz as the non-voting student member on the board. Renz, a sophomore at Sioux City East High School, will serve for 2 years. Her term begins May the 1st and runs through the end of April 2016. She replaces the graduating Iowa City High School student. Branstad's appointment is not subject to Senate confirmation. The Iowa Board of Education works with the State Department of Education. And employees and students at Iowa State University will get their turn to ask questions about a major cost-cutting review of the state's three public universities. A public forum is scheduled for this morning at Howe Hall on the campus in Ames. Leaders of the Iowa Board of Regents and Deloitte Consulting LLP are expecting to outline how the review will unfold in the coming weeks and months. The Regents have hired Deloitte at an initial cost of $2.5 million to look broadly across the state's universities and find ways to cut costs in administration and academics. They say they expect to save millions, which will be reinvested into other priorities. The consultants are starting their review by gathering financial data and interviewing hundreds of employees on the campuses. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, a new CEO for General Motors is headed to Capitol Hill today to answer questions about the defect in some of the automaker's small cars that's linked to 13 deaths. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration Chief David Friedman is also expected to testify that GM had information connecting defective ignition switches to the non-deployment of airbags as early as 2001, but didn't share it until last month. Good news for some people looking to sell their homes. U.S. home prices rose in February from a year earlier at a solid pace, suggesting that a tight supply of homes for sale is boosting prices despite slowing sales. Real estate provider CoreLogic says prices for existing homes rose 12.2% in February from a year ago. In January, existing homes were up 12% from the year before. An official says the possible release of convicted spy Jonathan Pollard could be part of a deal to extend troubled peace negotiations between the Israelis and Palestinians. The official says Pollard will be released by mid-month in exchange for 400 Palestinian prisoners. According to that official, the deal would extend talks into 2015 but would not include a freeze on construction of West Bank settlements. And investigators are conducting a voice analysis of the final words spoken from the cockpit of Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 to ground control before the plane disappeared on March the 8th. They're hoping the forensic exam will determine whether there was any stress or tension in the voice of whoever was communicating with controllers. Meanwhile, Australia says that the search for the plane could drag on for a long time. Australia is coordinating the search. News time is 8:11.
I told you this house was too good to be true. We haven't even been here a month, and the furnace won't start, the toilet keeps backing up, and the bathtub has a constant drip.
I told you I will fix everything this weekend.
No, that's what you said last weekend before the toilet broke. And remember the last time you tried to fix the furnace? Yeah, the fire department had to come, and we were the laughing stock of the whole town. Seriously, if you don't call Bob today, I'm going to stay with my parents.
Hi, this is Bob at Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, your local train dealer in Fontenelle. Let me help you keep the fire burning in your marriage and not in your basement by completing all those honey-do lists for you. No job is too big or small when it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing. Just call me at 1-877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
In the funeral announcements, Elsie Murphy, age 98, formerly of Atlantic, died March the 24th in Colorado. A massive Christian burial service for Elsie Murphy will be today at 1 o'clock at the Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Lynn Peterson, age 79, of Elkhorn, died Sunday in Omaha. Funeral services for Lynn Peterson will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the First Baptist Church in Elkhorn. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton has arrangements. Harold Anderson, age 93, of Avoca, died Sunday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Harold Anderson will be held tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Georgia Ann Severs, age 89, of Avoca, died Sunday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. A massive Christian burial service for Georgia Ann Severs will be held Thursday at 10 a.m. at the St. Mary's Catholic Church in Avoca. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Ruth Wenzel, age 95, of Lewis, died Saturday in Adel. Funeral services for Ruth Wenzel will be on Thursday at 11 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Jerry Lee Gibson, age 50, of Elliott, died Saturday in Omaha. Memorial services for Jerry Lee Gibson will be Friday at 11 o'clock at the Elliott United Methodist Church. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Austin Michael Oldenkamp, age 18, of Griswold, died Saturday. A massive Christian burial service for Austin Oldenkamp will be Friday at 11 a.m. at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Sioux City. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Gerald Sickles, age 85, formerly of Greenfield, died December 27th in Montana. Memorial services for Gerald Sickles will be on Saturday at 10:30 at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Mark Gall, age 59, of League City, Texas, died March the 26th. A massive Christian burial service for Mark Gall will be Saturday at 11:30 at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. And Delphine Gussie Maloney, age 89, of Harlan, died Saturday at the Elmcrest Retirement Community in Harlan. Services for Gussie Maloney are pending at Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements on KJAN, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.